Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
I'm gonna call you the lover.
welcome, everybody, to another episode of Unmask with authoress Terry E. Lyle. And I want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and all the callers that's coming in from the United States, Hawaii, my global audience, Canada, United Kingdom, Nigeria, Africa, Cameroon, Africa, Australia, Pakistan, Peru, and I'd like to welcome aboard our new listeners in Singapore. So we're doing well. People are tuning in. And I am got to the point right now where I have to just stop booking for a moment because I'm booked all the way up to July, and I got people dying to get on the show. And I contribute that to the fact that, you know, me and Mark, one way we do it, we're so laid back. It's fun. It's like hanging out with your friends. We're not bougie. We just real with it. That's why the show is called Unmasked, because we're bringing down, you know, those things that are peeling the layers off so we can see what's really going on in people's lives. You know, the stuff that you tell your little friends behind closed doors, that's how we do it up here. There's no censorship, none of that. But I first like to start off by saying how my heart is grieving for the loss of a musical legend and icon, Prince. That song I played was Purple Rain that won him an Oscar, and he was won many Grammys. And what people don't know about Prince is that this young man was 57 years old, and they said that he died from flu-like symptoms. And they had shows just as early as last week, and they said he was phenomenal. He gave us falsettos. He did everything. You couldn't tell that he was sick. And then, like everything else, you got these people out there always trying to contribute things to drugs, this and this and that. And I've heard that he was taking Percocets. Well, Quiz's Cap has also been known that Prince had hip issues. And I guess of all that dancing and splitting over the years, I mean, it's going to tear him down. He's 57 years old. And if he was getting Percocet, he wasn't getting Percocet to get high. He was probably trying to mask some pain because he is a perfectionist. You know, and that's just how he is. And so, you know, I want to share a letter that I received from Tyler Perry in reference to Prince. And he titled this Doves Are Crying Today, and we are. And it says, "Hey, Miss Terry, about 12 years ago I was playing the Kodak Theater in L.A. I was on my way to the theater when my phone rang, and I answered and heard a voice that almost made me wreck the car. The voice said, 'I hear you're doing a bit of Purple Rain in your show. Do it again, and I'm going to sue you. And I need 10 tickets, and I'll be there tonight.' Click, and I freaked out. Prince had called me. So that night, I waited at the backstage door for him to arrive. I was nervous and hoping he didn't get out of the car with non-lawyers, LOL. The limo pulls up, and there he was. He got out smiling and laughing. I knew then he was joking, kind of. One of the first things he said was that he was a fan of mine. That blew me away. Prince, what? I thought, can you say mind-numbing? Anyway, we chatted for a while, but time seemed to fly by. Soon enough, I had to get dressed and start the show. During the play, I would glance at him, and he seemed to be having an awesome time. Man, Prince was watching me perform and enjoying it. Then we got to the part in the play where I had been doing a few lines of Purple Rain. I stopped and looked at him sitting in the audience. We made eye contact, and he nodded to me. So I cued the band to start playing Purple Rain, and someone bring Prince the microphone in the audience. Big mistake. He started singing Purple Rain, and the audience went crazy. I had never heard that kind of roar from a crowd before. 3,400 people losing their minds. He sang one verse, and the audience was blown away. There were standing ovations for him at my show, LOL. He was done singing, and the audience wouldn't stop applauding him. I still had 20 minutes to go before my show was over. I knew at that moment that I had just been educated by royalty. The lesson was, never give your microphone to a legend at your show, LOL. And on the rare occasions that I had the privilege to spend some private time with him, I always knew I was in the presence of someone special, someone incredible, and someone brilliant. Whether we were at the White House or standing in his kitchen talking, he was consistently an icon. Whether I was in a crowd of thousands watching him perform or one of the handful in his basement listening to him sing for hours, he was always consistent, always royal, always a legend, always Prince. He gave us so much of his genius that it's impossible to forget that he walked this planet, and who would want to? Thousands of years from now, the world will still know that Prince was here. Travel well, my beautiful friend, Tyler Perry. And, you know, that's the same way I feel about him. I didn't meet him personally, but I felt like, you know, I grew up with this young man, and when I heard the news, I felt sick to my stomach. I had tears because I felt like I lost a blood brother, you know, and people think that Prince just did this kind of music, R&B. Prince did jazz. He did rap. He did so many things people would not believe. This brother was phenomenal, you know, and it's a shame because, you know, when he was coming home, he had recently, over a week ago, did a show in Atlanta. You know, before he got home, they had to stop and take him to the hospital, and then when they found him unconscious in the elevator on his compound, you know, it's just sad because that brother was trying to be around. But I kind of felt like, you know, they say when people are getting ready to die, they feel a certain kind of spirituality that is elevated, that they know they're not going to be here long, you know. And for all those people out there who want to make everything about drugs, stop it, you know. Don't tarnish the greatness of this young man. Don't tarnish what he left here, because it wasn't about drugs. This guy, he did his best. He was persistent and giving you 100%, and he didn't just do that on a stage. He did that in his life. He had a child he was happy to have, you know. So if all y'all want to be create confusion and make a lot of noise, just stop it. Stop it, you know. Acknowledge that you have lost something great, you know, and he will definitely be missed, you know. And fly strong. Go ahead and get your angel wings, Prince. I love you, and I'll see you when I make it there on the other side. And when you see me coming, darling, please hold the door open so I can slide on in. And with that being said, we're going to start something new on our show. What we're going to do every beginning of our show, we're going to do words of wisdom, because I realize when I talk to people, I don't care how old some people are. Some people can be senior citizens. Some can be young adults. And not that the young ones are stupid, and because they're not. I've seen a lot of people on top of their game, and I've also seen a lot of older people not on top of theirs. You know, so wisdom is what it is. Sometimes you have to go through stuff, whether it's PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and sometimes when you go through something traumatic in your life, it causes you to have these moments of growing up and these epiphanies. And people always want to say PTSD is associated with the military. No, it's not. It's associated with anything that has gotten your attention that was traumatic, whether it was death, near death, or something, you know, that happened that was just horrific and horrible. That can create PTSD. I have PTSD myself. When I see snow, I panic, because as a tractor trailer driver, when I hit that patch of black ice and I flipped down that ravine four times and they had to cut me out that truck, and I'm living in constant pain today. Trust what I'm telling you. I put a smile on his face, but, man, I'd be hurting. I'd be thanking God that he keeps me moving, because I'm afraid that if I give in to the pain or I lay down and be still, I'm not going to get back up, because the pain that I take is real, man. You know, on a constant level from 0 to 10, I'm always at a 6, 6.5. You know, I'm taking morphine and Oxycontins at the same time, and both of those drugs slow down your respiration, so it's always a miracle that I wake up. And when I take them, I don't feel euphoric. I don't feel none of that. What I feel is like I can straighten my back up a little bit so I can shuffle to the bathroom, or I can get to the kitchen, do what I got to do. So the people out there that are abusing drugs, stop it, because, you know, the government right now is trying to take away those Class A drugs for people like me who has chronic pain that can be documented by the many surgeries, the many MRIs and everything else, and CAT scans, you know. So don't take it from the people that need it, and I'm one of those people, you know. So these people out there getting drugs, lying about it, selling drugs, and the people that need it, we're going to be the ones suffering. And I'm not having that, you know, because, right, and I don't want to hear people talking about Prince and that kind of connotation. I want people to get their life right, you know, and so I think words of wisdom need to be taught, because some people just don't get it, you know. They hear their self thinking and they did wrong, you know. And with that being said, before we bring our guest on, I'm going to bring my co-host Mark Anthony Real. I love him to death for doing his research and being the backbone and help me keep going, and he knows how to pull me back. And I also want to acknowledge, too, the first co-host I had, Shalonda Sneed, now her last name is Atkins. Bless her heart, she was diligent just like Mark is, and, you know, and she was phenomenal. But she got another job and she couldn't be here, so that was a loss, but I was blessed because I got a good fill-in person, and now he is my main man. You know, if someone come on to be a guest co-host, that's fine too, but Mark is the man. You got to go through Mark to get to me. So without further ado, how you doing, Mark?
I'm good, but grieving and still in shock about Prince. Yes, I am. It just bowled me over, the news yesterday. And thank you for that beautiful letter from Tyler Perry. That was really great.
Yeah.
Really, really enjoyed that. And you know, Terry, I had a chance to see Prince in concert up in San Jose in 1996, and I was, that's when I was abusing alcohol and drugs, and I couldn't make it to the show. That is one of the biggest regrets I've ever had. I had an actual ticket to go see him at San Jose State Auditorium, and I couldn't go because I was too messed up. Ain't that a bitch?
You missed something, man. He's like Patti LaBelle. If you go to a concert from Patti LaBelle, she give you 100%. You know, you just get these special people, and don't be many of them. Some people play music and sing music, and they be okay for the moment, but they don't have that longevity that it'll still sound fresh, just like the day they sung it, you know? And, like, you know, like it's A Wonderful World by Satchmo, you know? He's just one of those icons, you know? Everybody can't be an icon.
Right. And speaking of Satchmo, they just uncovered some rare video of him singing a song they thought it was lost forever. And it is so poignant and so beautiful. You have to see it, Terry. I forgot the name of it, but I'll look it up and I'll let our listeners know next time. It is so beautiful. Okay. It's not very long, but He sings. It's like What a Wonderful World. It's like that.
Right. Amen. That's good.
Yeah. I love him. But you know what? He called himself Louis Armstrong, and everybody else called him Louis. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was like Satchmo was his real name, Louis Armstrong. But you know, it's good that people know both because, like, you know. People know me by authorist Terry E. Lyle, but other people know me as Bubblicious. And coming out this year, 2016, my book Broken will be out. And in that book, I'm going to expose some things. I'm going to take the hit for the team. I'm going to be the one who felt stupid. I'm going to be one embarrassed. I'm going to talk about from growing up, a preacher's kid, losing my virginity, to going out there to California, losing my mind, swinging, doing drugs, you know, explicit stuff, abusive relationships, you know, because my ultimate goal is that had not it been for Bubblicious being that wild child, and the reason why she was a wild child is because growing up as a preacher's kid, anybody know that in a family under a minister, you know, is very strict, you can't do nothing, and you feel like you hear all these wonderful stories from other people, and I'm a type of person that you can't tell me nothing. I got to see it for myself because I just can't take it and believe it. You know, you got to show me. And so what I did was when I moved to California after I helped get an inmate back into custody, which is also in my book, you know, I lost my mind. My ex-husband cheated on me, so he said he did it because I was inexperienced. Well, damn, you got a virgin. So that's the reason I started to swing, because I said I'm not going to lose nobody from what I don't know, you know. And I go into details because I want people to know that the books that I write, there's no genre for them. They're not just called poetry. Mine is like real talk, you know, in your face. It's not bougie. It's not hoity-toity. I just give it to you raw. That's why I named my show Unmasked, because I'm peeling that layer like you peel an onion. And in this book, you know, I called it Broken because my goal is that after the book comes out, I want it to be a screenplay. Then I'm going to try to kick it to Tyler Perry and see if he, you know, do something with it, because I do have his number. And what I want people to learn, that I don't care where you start, is where you end up at. You know, I am now today authoress Terry E. Lyle. I'm a Bible school teacher. I'm back in line with the saints. I got my head on straight. Bubbalicious was that lost person trying to see what it was that the mother and dad, who was a minister, tried to keep me sheltered from. My grandfather was a minister, tried to keep me sheltered from. And so sometimes you can't shelter people. Sometimes they just got to go out there. It's like in the Bible, the prodigal son, you know, when he wanted his inheritance first before he died, you know, his father said, okay, here, take it. And then he wound up going on to the far company, spent all his stuff up, and he wound up working for somebody and sleeping with the pigs and eating with the pigs were eating. And he said, man, I had people waiting on me. I'm living like this. So he went back, and he was ashamed. And his father saw him from a distance, and he ran. He was excited, saying he hugged and kissed on his son, and he told his other son to go get the fattest calf and everything because they were going to have a party. They were going to have a festival for his honor. His brother got mad because he said, damn, he done took all his half of the money. Now he coming back, and I stay here, and I hung in there, and you kissing on him like he all this and that, you know. But that just goes to show, you know, it ain't about, you know, the mistakes that you make. God loves us like that man loved his son, and he will welcome you back in. So whether you work in the streets, homeless, whether you're doing drugs, prostituting, whether you've been molested, whether you're just messed up mentally, whether you're just lost, God can fix it, you know. And my book will give you hope because, you know, even I was homeless. Who would have thought? I got this big, beautiful home that God gave me. And you know something? It ain't about what he's gave me because it's now about me. It's about relationships that I build with other people. He just blessed me to be comfortable while I'm going through because this earth is not my home. I'm a pilgrim just passing through. And so when that book come out this year, Broken, it would be to your best advantage to get it. You know, a lot of y'all can say, ew, she did that. I don't care because when you point your finger at me, we are pointing back at you. And I don't care because you can't blackmail me because I'm telling my own story, you know. But God has placed it upon my heart and my girlfriend, Monya Washington, said, Terry, put it out there. People need to hear this because there's a lot of people just don't get it, you know. What you're going through, what you've been through, it's nothing unique. So, you know, it's a lot of shocking things, revelations that you're going to read about me. But, hey, it don't change who I am. And what you say about me don't matter because I know where I stand with God, you know. And so with that being said, I'm going to kick it over to you, Mark.
Well, that book is going to be a blockbuster. I mean,
yes.
I thought I knew everything about you, Terry, but I'm sure there are things that are going to curl my toes, honey.
Yes, your page, your book is going to be on fire. You say, oh, shit, she did that. Oh, hell, no, okay.
I'm going to say, you did what? Really? Wow.
Okay, yeah, done that. Okay.
Well, you know, my little nugget of wisdom for today, Terry, I saw a story on 60 Minutes last Sunday night that kind of hit close to home. It was about some of the nation's leading insurance companies who are not paying beneficiaries of life insurance policies, and they're pocketing the money because no one has made a claim on them. And many times this happens more than you think. Many times this is because the people who are supposed to get the money are unaware that their loved ones even have a policy, right?
Wow.
Yeah, so my ears kind of perked up when I was watching it because I have a life insurance policy that names my two sisters as the beneficiaries. If anything ever happens to me, I don't want to be buried in Potter's Field. I want a nice burial near my mother's, preferably, and they know my wishes. Fortunately, my sisters know about it, and I made sure that if something ever happened to me, they have all the information they need on how to make a claim in a timely manner. So this is just a reminder to all our listeners that if you're paying your premiums on your life insurance policy faithfully every month, and your policy is in good standing, to make sure your loved ones have all the information they need to get the money that they're entitled to. And Terry, you also mentioned something about going through your family members' things after they pass away and not to do it when you're grieving and upset and in a rush. Didn't you mention something about that?
Yeah, one of the things that happened, my cousin, mom died, my favorite Aunt Lucilla in New York, and because my cousin was grieving the loss of her mom because she was the only surviving children out of two, she let her friends go through her mother's stuff. Them heifers took and threw away her paperwork. They ripped off the jewelry. They ripped off the purses and the leather coats, you know, because my cousin, she was, like, devastated, you know, and because of that, it's a long process trying to get the right paperwork for the house that her mother also left in South Carolina. She got two homes, one in New York and one in South Carolina. So the thing is, you should take the time by yourself, shut yourself off, and find the insurance paper. Do that. But do not let someone else do it for you because they know you're grieving. They know you're not thinking because they ripped her off. And you're supposed to be her friends. Now the heifer's riding around in a damn car. Of course you are. Money that my aunt had around the house, like a lot of older people do, they hide money in safes or they have numbers to tell you a combination to the safe. So you got the stuff before my cousin even knew the stuff was there because she told me, she said, Terry, I knew you was my mom's favorite and she was like my sister, you know, because she came after me and her mother took me every summer before she had any kids. So I was like her child, you know, and she said, I want you to have my mom's jewelry box with the jewelry in it, you know, because she would want you to have that because she knew that everything else in the house was hers, you know, the money, the clothes, the furniture, everything else. So I went and got the jewelry box, trust and believe. It was a lot of costume jewelry in there, and I know my aunt was blinging real stuff all the time. So I knew them heifers that stole the jewelry because in life I saw what she was wearing. Now, all of a sudden, that she died and all that jewelry is missing. It didn't walk on its own, but you know some, the love don't change. My aunt, she still lives in me, you know, and it will never be forgotten. But I learned from that when someone passed away that you're close to, whether it's your child, your parent, or whatever, take the time, shut the phones off, turn the ringers off, you know, get your cry out, get a good sleep. You know, and then take your time and go through the papers, you know, so you can find out who to give the insurance papers to the funeral home so they can deduct the money from there. The other stuff, you don't have to go through it right away. You ain't got to figure out how to get this out the house or how to get this out. But go through your paperwork. Do that. And most people know that you'll find paperwork in a top drawer. Everybody got a top junk drawer or everybody got a safe pretty much or a lockbox, you know, under the bed. You know, look in those special areas, get the paperwork, and then figure it out. Or, you know, if you talk to your relatives, they still here, you know, what do they talk about? They talk about Allstate, State Farm. They talk about, you know, listen to the conversation. Make little notations so you can tell who to go to, you know, in case you are wondering. But, you know, we've been running our mouth. We need to take a small break and get our guests up on here. So we're going to come back in 2 and 2, but we're going to take a small break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? How y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. It's just been really busy. Sorry I haven't been here this week. Yes. Oh, I forgot, but I will be there this week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey, man. I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. The things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day. by authorist Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m. You're listening to authorist Terry E. Lyle's Blog Talk Radio. It's the interview that pays to listen to with the honest, candid truth in your face.
And again, like I want to say, I want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and all my global listeners from Hawaii, United States, Canada, United Kingdom, Nigeria, Africa, Cameroon, Africa, Pakistan, Peru, Australia, and now we done added Singapore. So me and Mark are doing this thing, and you know I'm way booked up until July, and I had to stop because my emails are filled up. People wanting to be on the show, and that's just a testament that people are tired of that bougie radio, that phony kind of stuff where, you know, you feel like, oh, my God, what's the next question? Because we're keeping it real, we're funny, we lay back, we're not phonies, you know. So knock on wood, Mark, we're doing it, you know. And I also want to say that our special guests, Angie Christine, and some may know her by Angela Crandall. She was supposed to be on tonight, and we was going to talk about her random acts of kindness. And I was going to also talk about the fact that she was a New York City police officer, and was going to talk about her books, Firemen and Tantalizing Pleasures. But what y'all don't know, I talked to her Tuesday. She had a stroke while she was at the doctor's office, and she was getting seen for physical, and then she wound up having a stroke. They took her to the hospital, and then I talked to her yesterday, and I talked to her Wednesday, and she said that they wanted to keep her over, but she decided that she wanted to go home because she got a child, even though the baby's father had took the child. But, you know, it's hard, even when you're sick, when you got a child, not to be crazy because you want to be around your loved ones when you're going through. And stroke is nothing to play with because, you know, her blood pressure was elevated, and it was, she said it was like 210 over something. And with all that pressure going through your blood vessel, you know, you could create what you call an aneurysm. It will weaken the wall of your blood vessel. And she also suffers from anxiety attacks. And I just found out today that they took her by ambulance back to the hospital, but this time it's worse than a stroke. She has aneurysm. And for people who don't understand what that is, let me explain it to you. An aneurysm is like you visualize a water hose, and in one section of that water hose, it bulges it up, and the walls are thin. What can happen when a person have an aneurysm, if the doctor don't cut it off and, you know, and fuse the blood vessels together, it can bust and they can die. I had a girlfriend of mine die young, early 30s, you know, she died from an aneurysm, and the only thing she had was a migraine headache, and she just thought that because she was under stress, you know, the headache was going to go away. So if you're having constant headaches, you need to go check it out, you know, around your eyes and everything. Sometimes those migraines are an indication of something else go wrong in your life. So, you know, I want everybody to keep Angie Christine or Angela Crandall, however you know her, keep her up in prayer. And Angie, baby girl, she wanted to be on my show today when I was telling her Tuesday. She said, oh, I'm okay. I'll be all right. I'll do it from my bed, you know. And my God, 2 days later, she's back to the hospital. So keep her prayed up through the night and bring her home safely, because that has me pause for concern, because ain't no show that important than your health. And we got to understand, you know, like Mark, was talking about, if you die and your life insurance policy, before you even get to the stage of dying, we got to live right. You know, we got to go and check on ourselves. I don't care at what cost. You know, a lot of people don't want to get health care because they feel like, you know, I don't have the money to pay for it, or they won't go because they don't have insurance. But let me say this to you. The law says that they cannot turn away someone because they don't have money. And you know something, like a lot of us, we're guilty of, you know, let the damn bill come, just don't pay it. You know, take care of your rent. You know, take care of your mortgage. Take care of the food on your in your stomach. You know, take care of what you got to take care of, because you're going to have bills when you die. You know, so if you're sick, still hound you to the damn hospital. You ain't got to have no money, because I was in the doctor's office ever since Tuesday, all the way up through the day, every day, back to back. And this one lady came and she says, I don't have the money right now for my copay. I'll pay it in a couple of weeks. And they had to say okay, because that is against the law for someone to refuse you any kind of medical help because you don't have the money. So if you're out there, people, and you listen to what I got to say, if your ass is sick, now I'm not playing with y'all, if you're sick, get your butt to the hospital. Take care of yourself, for your kids, for your mothers, for your fathers, for your siblings, you know, for your cousins, because somebody else wants you behind around. It might not be me, but do the right thing. Stop worrying about a stupid bill, because let them bill you. And when it comes, either throw it in the trash or let another one come. Send you collections. What the hell? You can't get blood from a turnip. Let them do what they're going to do. But get yourself healthy, you know, because I don't play this kind of mess, you know, with your help. You worry about, I ain't got the money. I ain't got the copay. Damn that. Just go.
That's right. Yes.
This is ridiculous, you know.
Terry, I have a friend that's doing the same thing. She has been having these pains in her arm for over 2 years now, and she pops aspirin for it, and I say, I will go with you, Carol. I will go with you. I will support you in anything. Just go. Well, I don't have the money for it. The same old lame excuse.
Yes, and I'm sick of that excuse. I'm sick of it.
Right. Yeah, get your ass up and out and go to the doctor. Find out what's happening.
Yeah, because you don't want to go knock on her door and she up in there dead. That will traumatize somebody. You know, do it for yourself. You know, if you're sick, I'm telling you, it's the law that cannot refuse your service. You ain't got to worry about looking like a bum. Who gives a shit? Go get some help. You behind a little closed section anyway. When the register is getting you signed in, say, look, I don't have no money right now. I'll pay you. Lie. Just get seen.
Yeah.
And then
right.
There's a lot of hospitals, they don't tell you this because they want everybody to pay. A lot of hospitals, if you tell them you just don't have no money, period, they will give you one of those, like, things where a free bill, you know, you just get seen, and they won't charge you, because they do that in Columbus, Georgia, the doctor's hospital. I don't know if they call it pro bono like they do for lawyers, but if you tell them that you just ass out and broke, you know, they just see you for free, and they don't send you a bill. So you never know unless you ask.
Yeah, exactly. And they can't bill you. Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
They can't bill you if you're 6 feet under either. So you either way, you don't have to pay.
That's right. And you know, the deal is, Mark, as well, the problem is that, you know, these people in hospitals, they won't tell you that some people can get their stuff for free because they want your money. You know, say, and they don't let people know that they ain't got to be going there, you know. But it just is what it is, you know. I don't want y'all being sick, hanging around, you know, and, you know, don't make somebody uncomfortable, because if you ain't got money to pay for health care, then damn it, you also don't have money for life insurance, and now you're going to leave a big-ass bill to your family. Come on now. Stay healthy.
Amen. Amen.
You can't pay a copay. Somebody going to stiffle the damn bill any damn way.
That's right. Yeah. People, listen up. Terry said a mouthful.
So did. And you know I like to run my damn mouth. But anyway, Angie, darling, me and Mark are praying for you. Everybody else, you haven't missed nothing.
Yeah.
It wasn't, it's been postponed. But it wasn't denied. You know, the devil can try to do all he want to do. He couldn't deny this show. He just put it on a back burner. We won't get this sister up in here, you know. And in the meantime, we're going to pray her through, you know, because just lift up in prayer. And make sure before you end that prayer, you say in Jesus' name, because Jesus is the mediator between God and man. If you just say a prayer and everything and you don't end it in Jesus' name, it's just like hot air going up into the atmosphere, because it don't mean nothing. Because you got to understand, for your prayers to be heard, you must put it in Jesus' name, because you can't go to the Father except through him. And that's why he came.
Yeah. Well, you know, today, interesting, Terry. I do my usual prayer in the morning after I do my insulin, and I didn't know what to pray for. And so I just prayed for inspiration, for something to pray for, and I got it immediately, you know?
Amen.
Have you ever had it happen to you where you don't know, you come to the throne and you don't know what to pray for?
No, I haven't had that problem in a long time, because I know one thing, it's always somebody to pray for. Pray for other people. Be
That's what I wound up doing, yeah. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And always pray for me, darling.
Well, yeah, okay, there, I'll start with you. There you go.
Yeah, always pray for me. I even pray for my immediate family, my cousins, my church family, the global churches, the humanity, human beings. I pray for us because there's too much mess going on. There's no value of life. You know, people taking each other out from senselessness, you know. And we living in a shameless society, and people just don't care, you know. And in my last breath, I'm going to make sure while I'm on this radio show doing Unmasked, I'm going to bring the truth, man. I'm not going to bring you stuff for entertainment. You know, you might be entertained depending on what the subject matter might be that night. But with every show that I'm going to bring to you, me and Mark, you're going to learn some stuff, you know. It ain't going to be about just entertainment. You're going to learn some things, because that's how we do it. Because with us, it's all about relationships, or it ain't about nothing, you know. And it is what it is, you know. And Mark, I just want to thank you for being a great co-host. And I know you've had a rough day, and I've had a rough week. And, you know, God knows what we need, because as quiet as it's kept, had Angie got this call just now about how bad it is for her and her being rushed by ambulance to the hospital, you know, I was saying, Lord, give me the strength to just get through this, you know. And, you know, God blocks things from us that we don't know, and the things we asked him to block, you know, seen and unseen. I just thank him, you know, because he knew this black behind right here was like, whew, was going to have to pull it out of her butt, because I was like, oh, God, I got a rough day. And here he go. Not that I'm trying to say that your illness is not important. It is, but he knew that things have to go in the way he wanted them to go for whatever reason. And because now she's going to get her attention, that she got to get treated thoroughly for a medical condition. It's also allowed me a break that I need. And I heard that Mark said he was having a rough one too. So, you know, everything worked for God's good, you know. And
thanks.
You just got to understand that and just take it to him and leave it there.
Everything. And you know, the main thing is that she takes care of herself and prioritize her health. And I hope that everybody does that and takes care of themselves, as Terry said. That's all I pray for, that we all take care of ourselves and get off our ass and do it.
That's right, because this is not a joke. We got to, you know, do the right thing, man, because, you know, we got people out there who love us. You might not love yourself for whatever reason, but somebody loves you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the main thing. So
I think you said your wisdom, your nugget of wisdom right there. That was yours for tonight.
Exactly. Well,
we both got our nuggets in, right, Terry?
We sure did. You know, we're going to have a next one for y'all next week as well. And for everybody out there driving the highways and byways, be safe. I want my grandson, Jaguar, who's out there driving tractor trailers, he's fairly new at it. Be safe, young man. Don't get distracted with the phone. Keep your eyes on the road and keep your hands on the steering wheel. And my son-in-law as well, Michael, be safe out there, darling, because we want y'all to come home safely and go back to your job and make that money and bank that money so you have a brighter future. And we're going to take it home early. And I'm going to leave out with this song by Marvin Sapp, Never Would Have Made It. Y'all take care, and y'all come back next week at the same time and hang out with me and Mark on Unmasked on Blog Talk Radio at 7:30. Good night, Mark.
Good night, Terry. Good night, Terry.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say
Just need to testify to somebody next to him. Tell him, I'm strong, I'm wise, I'm better, much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. Now I'm stronger. I'm better, so much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Tell them, never could have made it. Oh, I wish I had some help here. I wish I had just two or three people that would just declare it. Never would have made it.
Never,
it. Never could have made it.
Never could have made it.
I just just love to encourage myself. Sometimes I just look in the mirror and say, I'm strong, I'm wise, I am better, so much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. But I never would have made it. I never could have made it without you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, good God Almighty, never would have made it.
Never could have made it.
Singing one more time. All I need is just one more time. Everybody say with me.
Never would have made it.
Oh.